Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, listeners. Melinda Zarate with Emboldened Heart here. Thank you for taking your time today to be with me and to listen to a person that I think is one of the most gifted and remarkable spiritual teachers to show up on the scene in recent years. And she's making a huge impact with her work. Her name is Everest Asher. She's brash. She's very direct. She's very honest. And she has probably, she's young, and she's probably lived more and learned more important spiritual life lessons in her life than many, many people who have been actually studying and in the spiritual teacher arena for many years. So I'm really excited to bring her back again. She's kind of one of my new favorite people. Everest, hi, welcome.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you just fine.
Oh my God, I can hear you. Wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, you're one of my favorite people as well, because you have actually, when we're done with this call today, I need your advice on some affiliate stuff. So when we're offline, I'll do that.
All right. Okay, perfect. Well, I want to, I know there are some new listeners that are going to be listening and are also with us here live, and your story is so compelling, but I also don't want to ask you to, you know, be redundant either. So what I'd like to do is maybe ask you to share the big thing that launched you into the work that you're now doing, if you could share that.
Yes, of course. So on September 9th, 2015, I had a dream that my fiancé died, and 24 hours later, he was dead of a heroin overdose in the exact way that I dreamed it. And at that point, I had been doing my work part-time for about 4 years, you know, trying to save up that perfect amount of money until I would feel safe enough to do it full-time, always, and would end up disappearing in one way or another. But I understood a lot about life that night, and there was a lot of problems because I really didn't like God. I had seen the future in a dream, and so I was like, well, I need to find out what happens after death. So it was that quest that sent me on the path of a spiritual teacher. But at that time, I had a newsletter list because I had been dabbling in some other, you know, being a yoga teacher, being a health coach, and none of them ever really seemed to fit me. So when I left, when I decided to leave New York and not go back to bartending, I had a newsletter list that had maybe 14 people on it, and three of those 14 people were my mom's different email aliases. So very, very, very small group. But after my fiance died, I started just sharing in my newsletter list just what I was going through, because I figured, you know, it was something better. It was better than doing nothing. Mm-hmm. And that email list started to grow to about 200 people. And that 200 people were my first, like, 3 coaching clients.
Oh, that's so cool. So I personally am kind of blown away that you started with an email list of 14, and now I have no idea what your reach is. I know it's really large, and you have a pretty committed following of people that just love the work that you do, and you continue to introduce new aspects of your work all the time. So I know you're a mother, and you have a young son, and you're in a committed relationship, and you live in the mountains, and you've been able to develop for yourself the most remarkable way of reaching people from a pretty remote location and creating an income that is not geographic specific. So yeah. I know there are going to be people listening, because my tribe is a lot of women, a lot of entrepreneurs, a lot of healers and yoga instructors and health coaches and all of those things. So I know that what you have to say is really going to resonate. So if someone is listening, the first question I have is, what if you're like older? What if you're over 60? Is it too late?
Yeah. No, it's not too late. And this is specifically why I asked if you would have me on the podcast again, because there's been a message that I've been trying to get to the demographic for so long. And I hear so often, not just from more mature women, but from all ages and all stages, is this feeling that you have to be better at something than you currently are, and that you have to learn to speak the language of the new social media, whatever social media platform is trending, or that you have to have a following of, you know, a minimum 1,000 people. And that's really not true. As a matter of fact, I do always have in our audience right now exactly the people that need to be there. And I spent like the first year of my career, the first 3 years of my full-time career, and this is my fifth year, really feeling like if my audience was just bigger, then I would be able to have the results that I want to. But when I look back mm-hmm. on it right now, you know, I'm like, oh, man, I'm so happy that there was a small audience when I was still working through things like getting sober and, you know, overcoming codependency. So the, you know, whether 14 people or one person in your audience right now, and where your audience is right now. Like, if you are a Facebook person, you don't need to learn Instagram. And, like, honestly, these social media things, they come in, they come out, they lose popularity super fast. So actually, like, having mm-hmm. something like a newsletter list, having something that's a little bit more old school way of connecting with your audience, it's a lot safer and a lot more sustainable. And actually, is when people are on social media, they're not in their business brain. But when they're in their email inbox, they are in their business brain. So that's actually more than social media. Newsletter list for this has been considered to be the best type of audience that you can have. But it's absolutely not too late. And I really feel like now more so than ever, women need to hear from women they can look up to. And I see a lot of maidens giving other maidens advice, and it's all within the same kind of very small pond of spiritual teachings, you know, pulling tarot cards every single day, always trying to figure out if, you know, God likes you or not. There's a lot of maidens giving mm-hmm. other maidens advice. And then sometimes, you know, there's someone like me who's in the mother phase and has an audience that's primarily maidens, I would say. But I have been so lucky in my life to have been mentored by crones, and to have I've always hung out with an older audience. I've always really enjoyed hearing from women that are older than wiser than me about everything from business to sex to how to navigate disagreements with my husband. And it used to be that, like, we were all very connected to the crones that were in our life. Like, we would regularly be mentored by our grandmothers and our mothers. But once women joined the mm-hmm. workforce, that wasn't so commonplace anymore. So what I'm actually seeing in my audience is women, I'm like, look, I'm not the best teacher for you. You need to speak to somebody that knows what it's like to be married for 30 or 40 years. You need to speak to somebody who has seen more than one, you know, social media or marketing trend come in and out. And that wisdom, that type of simple word economy, I've been there, I've seen, sometimes life is really painful, this is how we do it. That type of advice that can only, the type of sage wisdom that can only come with age. And I feel that more so than ever right now, the younger generation needs that. Not to mention, you know, our clients are always reflective of us, but it was, for me, when people that were older than me started following me, I was super insecure because I'm like, you know, much more than me. Like, what could I possibly tell you that I already know? But we're not limited to just clients that are our own age or in the same stage of life as us. And
right.
I think that because of digital tools and because of the resources that we have now, it's more possible and easy than ever to put the message where it needs to go. But if you're out there and you're feeling like, oh, my God, what could I possibly contribute? I don't even know how to call myself an Uber. I can't even turn my cell phone on. We need you. And we don't need you in the way that you think you've got to be. We need you in the way that you are. We need you, and we need to learn from you. So, like, if there's anything that I can do with what I know about digital media to help you bring that message to the world, well, that's what I want to do.
Awesome. You know, I'm so glad you kind of opened the door for me to make this comment. I've been studying the spiritual principles in a lot of different places and ways and with different teachers for over 30 years. And I've studied some of the same things that you have, Evie. But what I can tell anyone who's listening is that Everest has an uncanny ability to take the most complicated, complex spiritual principles and laws and understandings and spin it down into very understandable, practical, and implementable action steps that you can take that are really going to make an enormous impact, a positive impact. And the reason I can say this is because I've actually studied with her. I have been a student in her school of unified spiritual laws. And I'm telling you, there were some things that you shared with me that really blew the doors open to my understanding of some things that I just did not know until then.
Oh,
I didn't get it. It's true.
And that's
not even
so in the school of unified spiritual laws, I teach what's largely informed by a lineage of work called the Fourth Way, which is fairly obscure. And it was started, popularized by someone named George Ivanovich Gurdjieff. Very dense work, very difficult to understand. And it's quite brutal, actually, especially if you prided yourself on having years and years of spiritual study, because the prerequisite for this particular lineage of work is to feel as if you genuinely know nothing. And this work brings you to the type of psychological vantage points where you're like, oh my God, it was my mind talking the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just the most
humbling.
It's not humiliating, but it's deeply humbling. And when I first started studying that particular strain of work, I was like, but surely I'm special. Surely I'm special. Like, this couldn't possibly apply to me. And then by doing a very specific method of self-observation, it was a great gift for me, because after 10 years of studying spiritual concepts and working with different psychics, all types of coaches and healers and stuff, I really felt like, okay, so manifesting, is this it? Is this all like anyone's talking about, like manifesting? To me, it just seemed, I genuinely felt like I knew everything that there was. Of course, with a secret humility, like, yeah, of course there's more books I could read on manifesting, or a new lecture I could listen to on manifesting, but like, is this it? And the Fourth Way work, and when I teach it in the School of Unified Spiritual Laws, it's combined with a lot of Zen principles and a lot of Tantra and just my own way of teaching things. But for me as well, when I heard these Fourth Way concepts, I did feel like the doors were just blown open, and I was finally seeing results. Like, I was finally the work was difficult. It still is. I'm still working the same exact things like you are.
Yep.
But the more that I work these same principles of self-observation over and over, it's like everything else is falling into place. And I feel like I finally understand what all of these teachings have been saying, instead of just like knowing, oh, yeah, they say that.
Mm-hmm. I know. It was such a help for me. And it almost kind of felt like that work and being introduced to it by you kind of cleared the decks for me. And it really kind of set things up for me to have some really important new understandings And I'm so grateful for that.
So
the other thing.
Season two of. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
It's true. The other thing that I will share is that you actually introduced to me a new way to pray, which has been so powerful and so much easier and so much more effective. It feels right. And that's the way. Yes, yes. I love that. And I also now it's like, oh, I just the way you presented it where, you know, if you were going to ask your dad to help you with something that was an issue, you take a certain approach and you use particular kinds of language because male energy, masculine energy is different. And then if you are just kind of needing to just have some help with what the hell do I do with this? I'm completely distraught. And you're going to your mother, to feminine energy, it's a different request. It's a different asking for help. And I love that. I have shared that with a lot of people because I think it's so important. And what it does is it gives everyone that reminder that we have both in us active all the time because of, you know, of our connection with the universe.
Yeah.
So kudos to you for coming up with that.
Oh, thank you.
Because it's
that,
huge.
That praying technique. That's a very traditional for the different Yoruba religions. That's the classic way that you pray to Yemaya, Iemanja, all of the different, the ocean, basically. And it is, you know, there's a way, there's masculine style prayers and feminine style prayers. And I alternate between the two. One day I do masculine. So today is a feminine day for me. So I pray to divine feminine. But it's basically like when you know what you need help with, because I need a job. So if you know, hey, I need you to do this for me, that's a great prayer for divine masculine. Tell them all about your business plan. Tell them how you can help specifically. When you don't know what you need help with, and like, this is a huge part of our life as women, when you just have feelings and confusions and you don't know what the solution is, that's for divine feminine. And you'll find that after just a few days of praying with Divine Feminine, just telling her all of your problems, just opening, don't tell her a single thing, don't tell her help me with this or do this. You would, like, how, if I was praying to Divine Masculine, I would say, help me find out how I can make $40,000 passively every month. But to Divine Feminine, I would say, I feel like I'm never going to reach this financial goal. And that's the whole prayer. But we spend so much. That's why I say, like, when it seems like there's a lot of maidens coaching maidens and all of them need to go stay with the crone for a little bit. It's just feeding the same kind of half, not really lived in advice, just regramming the same things back and forth. You know, those are all the teachings of control and of being the light worker and not trying to be negative energy. And as a result, we're completely disconnected from, like, what's actually going on in our lives. And to just know that you can get that help where you don't have to. Men want to problem solve, want to be like, okay, well, let's not just complain about it. Let's find a solution. Super great to be able to think like that 50% of the time.
Yeah.
But sometimes we just have to get it off of our chest. And that praying technique, basically what it does is when you pray to Divine Feminine, you're saying, I don't care how it gets done. I trust you. Just handle it. But it basically frees up all of the resistance you have. And I've never seen things move as quickly as every time I pray to Divine Feminine, I'm like, oh, I know something's going to happen.
You know, conversely, I want to share that you mentioned about younger women mentoring each other because they, you know, it's relatable and they're going through similar experiences. Conversely, I see a lot of older women kind of, you know, collaborating and connecting and mentoring each other. And there's a lot of the same kind of thing. Because there may be a sense of having had similar experiences with, you know, with work or men or the patriarchy or whatever. And it's easy to get a little stuck because there is a tendency to kind of, you know, use the same language and think in the same sort of directions. So I love it that you are able to kind of cross over and talk with anyone at any age, doesn't matter what their issues are, what their problems are. You have an ability to really help move them along, I think. And I know I think you're in your 30s. Am I right?
You're
pretty young, but
how old I am. I was born in 87.
Oh, right, your story. Well, listen, girl, you may be only in your 30s, but you have the wisdom of someone who has visited this many, many times. So I just can't say enough about how authentic I feel your work is and how much depth it has.
Thank you
and that's
so much.
What people... Well, that's what people are craving right now. We don't need any more stuff.
Yeah, no more.
Go ahead.
And I'm also, you know, when we're only being mentored within our own, like, age range, there's a lot of options that we don't see. So, for example, a maiden mentoring a maiden might see all types of social media, and I'd be like, okay, well, we can use this and we can use this. See a lot of options when it comes to platforms. When it comes to message, they're not exactly mentored on, like, what is a message that I could preach for my whole life? How could we see beyond, like, immediately working right now? And, like, how do I start thinking in terms of a career and not for a job? But the problem with crones mentoring crones or even mothers, so a mother mentoring a mother mentoring another mother, we might be stuck in the fixed range of, like, well, we only have so much time because we're mothers and we don't see a lot of options either through platform or a way of making our message more sustainable over time. And then when crones are mentoring crones, sometimes all you're seeing is mentoring in relation to the message and the message that it's been for the last 30 years, but with an absence of being able to see the different platforms that could make things so much easier. But what I love,
right.
So the season 2 of the school is actually called the School of Spiritual Business. It's those same spiritual principles, but updated. And to show you how, instead of all of us just buying whatever it is that we've been sold from with every fleeting social media that just, you know, comes by being like, oh, I've got to jump on that train, or now I have to do this, and now I have to do that, to really use the spiritual lens to see how the same rules have always been true for business, and how when you're connected with these concepts of value and of service, and of also, like, getting your message out there and what it requires to always be, you know, bringing yourself to a wider audience. If we look at it through a spiritual lens, well, we see that nothing's changed, actually. Like, yes, we have more tools and stuff that makes things more possible than ever, but we're still running on the same laws. And some of these things are your client is who – there's a quote that says, be who you needed when you were younger. And if you want to know who your client is, like, that's just be who you needed when you were younger. Think about what it was that you struggled the most with, when it was that your life really went through that shakedown, and think of, like, the mentor that you needed at that time. And then you look at it logistically, you say, well, how old was I? Or where, you know, or what was I experiencing? Was I leaving a job? Was I leaving a partner? Was I getting a new job? Was I getting a new partner? But what was going on? And what mentorship did I really need at that time? And when we take the simple concept of be who you needed when you were younger, and we zoom in on it, we start finding all of these new tools. Like, for example, in Instagram speak, it would be, what hashtag would this person be looking for? Where does this person live? What time do they wake up in the morning? What is their spiritual practice like? And you're not looking outside of you. You're looking inside of you. But when you really contemplate this and you really zoom into it and try and get as much information about others as possible by studying yourself, that's when you have niche marketing. That's when you have a direct line of communication between you and your ideal customer. But it's not about finding new tools outside of you. It's about looking at your past and asking yourself, how has every single incident been training for where I am right now? And where could I have really used mentorship? And what was my budget back then? And what was my time commitment back then? Because if when you were 35, you didn't have any money or any extra time, you're not going to sell somebody a one-week retreat in Aruba for $3,000. You know, you'll make them a little $300 mm-hmm. something that they could get their hands on. But that's
right.
I've coached so many different people through so many different stages of their business, and where I feel like people get the most stuck is just thinking that they have to be different than they are. And whatever it is that you love, like, that's your platform. And wherever it is that you like to be, even if people are saying, oh, that's a dinosaur, it doesn't exist anymore, like, no, your clients are where you are. And I just feel like it's so easy to just be completely overwhelmed by the amount of digital tools, and everyone's got a different strategy. Like, even I get super swept up in that. I'm like, oh, I need to learn how to do YouTube. And then I just mm-hmm. feel completely overwhelmed. I'm not focusing on what's actually paying me, what's actually, like, thriving. I'm just, it's always this, like, chasing of what the next digital trend is. So for me, being able to, the same way that this lineage of fourth way work really helped me to relax into a structure that was way bigger than I was, and something that I could depend on, something that I could really, that mm-hmm. was measurable, and that was also checked out. It was 100% spiritual. Being able to do the same thing but for business is something that I've wanted to do for a long time, and so I'm happy that it's coming into fruition, because it's easier than ever now to have passive income. It's easier than ever now to become location independent. Everyone is a teacher. And as a result, like, everyone can make that gorgeous consulting money, you know, an hour of your time paying you so well. But also, when we're thinking mm-hmm. about the long term, when we're thinking about, okay, well, how do I plan on, what does my retirement fund look like? Having passive income allows us to see that money doesn't stop when we stop working. And it's overcoming that belief of hard work equals money that so many of our more mature women are super stuck in. And having
right,
one
exactly.
little road of passive income attracts more of it to itself. But
it can,
in order to
it
do
can
it,
make a
you know, it's
difference.
That next,
yeah.
that next step of coming out as a teacher and being like, you know, translating your message into books and into digital workshops and into podcasts and into things that will pay you for the rest of your life.
I'm so glad you brought that up. And right now I know that you are promoting your From Scratch program. But I do want to mention for anyone listening that one of the wonderful things about Everest is that she's got a whole series of different options for you. No matter what your budget is, you can get some really, really solid help from her. And so I would just encourage you to take a look at her website. And I'm familiar with a number of her programs, the Unified Spiritual Laws. I can't say enough good about it. Her Breaking Broke program is awesome. Her Jelly program is awesome. And the Bruja Report. I mean, those are the ones I'm pretty familiar with. But everything she does is really so worthwhile. Tell us a little bit about the current offering that you have, though, for the From Scratch.
Well, I'll tell you something even better than that, because it's like an off-the-menu offering. Because no one here really, you know, sometimes you might feel as if you're starting a business from scratch. And the full name of that workshop is How to Start a Business from Scratch with No Time, with No Money, and No Business Plan. And it's basically everything that you need, from figuring out what it is that you're here to do, to understanding some of the groundwork you need to lay in that first year of business. For example, setting up a newsletter list and why, website and why, launch PR and marketing. But a lot of women on here have have been in business for quite a long time. The good news that I have for you is that every time in the School of Spiritual Business, I'll be teaching you a more detailed launch strategy, because some stuff touches on it, but not in completion, because it's just not the right time for that with that workshop. But every time that I do a launch, I offer so many free workshops. So coming up here quite soon, the first one, I'll get you an exact date on it, Melinda, because I'm not sure. But there is two free lectures that I'm doing as a trailer for this school, and one is on social media, and the other one is going to be on something equally trendy and important, and I'll be condensing everything that I've learned about marketing or about launching, about creating a digital workshop. I'll be condensing all of that down into that really powerful hour, so you can really feel like you got just the best business training. So, How to Start a Business from Scratch is on sale right now, but what most people don't know is that when you're a subscriber on the Bruja Report, it's $44 a month. We recently updated it, but it's an all-access pass to all of my workshops and all of my business teachings. So instead of buying from scratch for $222, it's on sale right now. For $44 and trying a week free via the Bruja Report, you can see how to start a business from scratch, as well as Spirituality 101 and 2.0, and hundreds of business lectures and all of the archives and everything from the Bruja Report. So just a little off-the-menu special. You can get it for a week free and also for $44 via your subscription to the Bruja Report. So, and the Bruja Report, we do have an Instagram community, but I've moved it. I just don't really feel comfortable keeping all of my eggs in one social media basket anymore. So moving what used to be a subscription-based Instagram into like a streaming Netflix-style spiritual teaching buffet. It's been cool. So that's a little loophole.
Wonderful. Well, that's exciting. So, listeners, just stay tuned. I'll get you the most updated information on that so that you can take advantage of the amazing array of offerings that Everest has. And she's prolific. She's always doing something new. So just get connected with her, get on her list, and you are going to get a lot of just really deep and helpful freebies that show up in your inbox, and you're also you're encouraged to just dive into one of her programs and just see how much value really is there. I just am kind of, like I said, I'm blown away. I love her work. So, Everest, thank you so much for being here again today. The time always just flies
by. Thank you so much.
I mean, we could keep talking. It's just an honor and a delight to have you, and I'm just having so much fun watching you just take off like a rocket, girl.
Thank you so much. And if you want to be, you know, kept abreast of these new workshops that are coming up, especially the free ones on spiritual business, just sign up for my newsletter at everestasher.com. Write to your email or let me know when the new ones are coming out, because and Melinda, don't forget, like, you're an affiliate, so anyone that signs up for the Bruja Report, cutting a piece of passive income attracts more of it to yourself. So if you have even every month from a Bruja affiliate, that attracts more of that money coming to you easily. So I'm so happy that you're, I really feel like your biggest fans are the best salespeople, and I love if you bought even one product of mine, you can be an affiliate. That means you get 22% of every sale you make. So I'm
awesome.
So happy to be able to give passive income to people like that. And hi to my mom and my aunt Sheila, who are definitely listening right now. And thank you all so much. Thank you so much for having me, Melinda. And I'm going to email you after this.
Okay, great. Okay, awesome.
Thank you so much, everyone,
for listening. Thanks, Everest. Talk to you soon.
My pleasure. Bye.
Bye-bye.